Joshua
Jacobson.
In the parsha this week, so we're introduced to a new world order. What do I mean by that? Noach, after the Mabul, was told he was given permission to eat fleishik. Right? Before that, the world subsisted on vegetables, plantings, grain, whatever you like, but meat was off limit. And this was the first time that mankind, B'nai Noach, was allowed to eat meat. Now, my main subject is not going to be two subjects. One, we're going to speak about why were we given permission to eat meat at all. And second of all, a tangential shaila, which we learned in Kollel about shechting a behemoth with a knife made out of Isurei Hano, which was a shaila put before the poskim, and it's fascinating. And then we'll see if we can tie the two together a little bit. So first of all, let's discuss the idea, why b'chalal were we given a heter to eat meat? So there's several reasons. I think the one reason we should knock off is sometimes kids come home with an oversimplified version of because Noach saved the animals, so as a result, he was allowed to eat them. Now this is kind of a shocking moral principle. Would it be true that if you save someone, you're allowed to eat them? And we can't believe that that's the amkis of the Inyan, that was what was happening. So one, a little bit similar, maybe this is what the children meant to say, is that it was a reward. Noach had exerted himself, he had gone to extreme levels to do Rotzen Hashem, and Hashem, as a reward, gave him an extra benefit. And you say, well, where do we find precedent? I'm not sure if this is so accurate, but we see that the dogs who didn't bark when the Yidden were leaving Mitzrayim, so they were given the schus of the nevelas, should be given to them. So we see it's not exactly a match, but the idea is if you do extra work, extra avodas Hashem, Hashem is not short on giving out reward, so he gave Noach the schus of eating meat. A second answer is very interesting. It says that we see that the Doris after the Mabul got weaker and weaker. In fact, we talk about it till today, that this generation is so weak that it's not like even 50 years ago, with sometimes a nafkamina being on Tainesim, sometimes people are given a heter more readily than they would have been. So it seems that this weakening began after the Mabul. And one of the rayas is that the Doris lived much shorter. It went from 900, close to 1,000 years, to already by the time of Avram and Yitzhak down to 180 years, and from that point down to Moshe 120 years, so the generations were getting weaker and weaker. And as a result, this pshat wants to say that they needed more stronger food, a food that would give them more gesund. So meat was the solution to this. On the one hand, we're getting weaker. On the other hand, we were given the schos how to at least make the most of what we had. And the third answer, which is maybe what I spend the most time on, is, again, if I'm very mechudishtik, the vegetarian diet, if you want to call it that, had been in place for over 1,600 years, 1,600 years. And Hashem obviously had a reason why meat was off the menu. And this parish wants to say that the vegetable matter, and plants, and maybe we even see it a little bit by the idea of man was supposed to be similar to coriander or vegetable, but be that as it may, vegetables were considered to be a more purified, a more refined kind of food. There wasn't as much necessary, so you could pull a carrot out of the ground and you could eat it straight away. I don't know nowadays with all the chemicals that are getting added how pure the food is, but it would seem to be, it's in Ruchni's terms, this pshat is saying, there is a more pure and refined Ruchni dikka food. Now, this went on for quite a while, and the hope would be Hashem's plan was, I'm going to give you this food. This food is going to naturally put into you ruchnias. The result is you'll steig, and you'll become greater and greater, like the man for the door in the midbar. But unfortunately, what happened was just the opposite. The people got more and more corrupt. Instead of using Hashem's hashpol, the toiva, for their benefit, they took it as an easy life. They took it all in, and they just chased after their own pursuits. Maybe they got a spiritual high, so to speak, from it, but it was not L'shem Shemaim. It was just a way to egg them on to do worse and worse things until the Mabul came. So, according to this Hesber, something changed the marble in terms of our tafkid, and with that our diet had to change as well. That was, there was already the klal of Zeyas Apechem Toichel Lechem, that was one level. But after Noach, it says things changed even more radically. It used to be that the weather was perfect year-round. I've heard the Midrashim, not going to be Marich, but and the sowing of the seeds, I think once they would sow and they'd get 40 years of crops, it was an easy life. It was an easy life. And Hashem decided, Chachmosai, that this wasn't working. The human species, B'nai Adam, were not elevating themselves to having the easy life. So what happened? Hashem changed the plan. He said, now you're going to have self-discipline. You're going to have to build yourself with moral training. You're going to have to work on yourself. I'm not going to give you handouts anymore. I'm not going to make it so easy anymore. You're going to have to work. And the physical labor was just a reflection of this. But it's really meant to be also in spiritual terms. You're supposed to build yourself up in Ruchnias. And in fact, interestingly, there's a Gemara which says this idea, quite sharp loshen. It says, Rebbe Amar, this is a Gemara in Pesachim, Rebbe Amar Aretz Aser Lechol Basar. An Amar Aretz should not eat meat. On the other hand, Kol Oisek Patera Mutter Lechol Basar. So what's pshat? Amar Aretz, you know, you come to, before you go into the Fleishig restaurant, you say, okay, say over 10 blat. Okay, we're going to give Feher and Shulchan Aruch. Come on in. We'll give you whatever it is. What does it mean? We're going to give meat to Tamli Chachamim or people who learn. Doesn't Tamli Chachamim says Kol Oisik Batera Amar Tzim Not. So I think the idea is because you have to raise the eating. You have to take the food and make something ruchni out of it. And if it's just going to lead you down the same path, it's going to be even worse than the times of Noach, because there they at least had ruchni food. Here you've got a more magushim to food, and it was going to lead them even more quickly downhill. So I'm not saying that's halacha lemaisa, but nevertheless, the Gemara Pesachim says that. So let's say, based on all of this, that I think we could have a critique, we could have a comment towards the idea of people who have a philosophy of vegetarianism and what they're missing. I mean, there's lots of ways, I suppose, you could attack it and if you wanted to, but I want to say, based on this shot, maybe a new way of showing what's wrong with it. Let's say the assumption would be right, that eating the food, we're more holistic, whatever the modern shprach is for eating this organic food, why it's better for you, and it purifies you spiritually, and all of that. But there's going to be a problem. And let's say that that's true, and meat requires us to do more. We have to do shchitza, we have to do malicha, and even by my own admission now, I'm saying you have to work on yourself to change the nefesh bahamis into something which is a davar ruchni, which is more challenging. All true. However, there's two problems with this way of looking at life. Number one, Hashem told us it's mutter. That's the biggest kasha. You can say whatever you like, however you want to teach the world what we should be doing. But if Hashem says achilas basar is mutter, it's mutter. You can be as clever as you want, swore like you want. It's just not correct to say that it's something we shouldn't be doing. Hashem says it's something we're allowed to do. And on certain occasions, we're supposed to do it. On Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and the achilas of korbanos, and connecting some mitzvahs, the idea of having a fleishik meal is brought as a legitimate reason to have meat. But now, based on what we said, I want to say a second pircha on this way of thinking. And that is that be'etzem, the approach of saying, let's avoid meat and let's have only vegetables, is a way of saying, let's avoid our responsibility. In other words, we were put in the world in this tekufa, maybe pre-Mabul it wasn't like that, but in this tekufa, our job is to try to fix the world, to try to improve the world, to raise things that are challenging, that are lowly. In fact, we see the Moshe by the Kahanim, the Gemara in Pesachim says, Shekhanim oichlen v'bayin miskaprim. A chelik of the kapora for people who brought a korban was that the Kahanim should eat. You could say, just tell them to have vegetables and, you know, leave the meat on the side. No, they were supposed to eat it. There was something accomplished through the Kahanim Zechila. And people make mistakes thinking eating meat is just for our enjoyment. Lefi, what we're saying now, it's a job. It's something which you have to have an extra effort in order to raise, because if not, you're just bringing a nefesh bahamis into you. And someone quoted from me, I couldn't find it, a Chovis Levavis says that can damage you. Having a nefesh bahamis and you just make it a part of yourself without having done anything to rectify it, I don't know if that just meant shchit and malicha will take care of that, but it could even be beyond that. It could even be there's more to it. So I want to tell you that these people who are promoting this idea are yearning for a world which doesn't exist anymore. They want to be back in the pre-Mabul generation where they get the handouts for the shefa from Lamala instead of working Lamata. And people, we see, if I'm right, you see it reflected in the culture today. Culture today in America, People have a name for this, chasing after the easy lifestyle. They call it the California dream. And they mean without the forest fires. Yeah, the California dream, beautiful weather, year-round, everything's going easy, easy money, whatever it is, and people are just being pampered. The advertisement nowadays to say, be pampered, be taken care of, we'll give you the pleasures of life, whatever it is. That's the Qura. I want to say this all ties in with it. It's chasing for the world, which is no longer on offer. We lost it. When the Mabul came along, it was taken away. That's no longer where we fit in. In fact, someone said to me, this lifestyle of chasing after Gashmias, they said to me that it's obvious that the challenge of life and developing yourself in Ruchnias is much more satisfying. The way he put it was, he was brought up very wealthy in a very comfortable style. He said, if this is called living the dream, I can't wait to wake up. So, one other Nakuda historical point, who are the people who dreamed this up? I think in America, maybe here was different, that it came from a group of people in the 1970s who called themselves hippies. They were, I think, the originators of modern vegetarianism, and it's no surprise that they were known as a very decadent group of people, the people who are chasing after Taiva Zaylamazer and the drug culture and everything else that went along with that. So I think it's not surprising that how could they dream up something so ruchni, something so wonderful as protecting the animals? That's not the pshat. The pshat was, don't give me the achrayas to carry out Hashem's mitzvahs, to follow his authority in the world. I want the easy life to receive the finished world and have my spiritual bliss without having to work to get there. So really it ends up being a patur. What they claim, it gives them a moral high ground that we're more interested in the world than you are. In fact, no, they're more interested in patering themselves from doing anything to fix the world. It's a patur so that they don't have to do more to develop themselves. So that's a... You can take it or leave it. I think that may come out from this third pshat. And I don't know if we have to spend too much time, because I said the first reason is Hashem says it's mutter. If Hashem says it's mutter, we don't need to have a debate with anyone, but pardon the pun, it's just some food for thought. Okay, now on to halachic shtickle, which the reason why I'm mentioning it, I know probably most of the people in the room are not learning chulin, but nevertheless, I found that this Gemara is very eye-opening. It's sort of shocking as to something which I took for granted. I read the sugya, and I didn't know, so to speak, which way to hold the Gemara, because it was telling me something so new and so novel that I thought it was worth sharing. And that's to do with Isurei Hanor. Isurei Hanor, let's just give some examples and maybe how we would have thought Isurei Hanor works. Some common examples, a short, not so short list, but you're all familiar with. Basar v'chalav, right? We can't have any hanor. It doesn't mean you can't just eat it. You can't get any hanor. Chametz on Pesach, we're all very well aware of. Avodah Zorah, which is going to be relevant to what I discussed today. Orla. And another one, which is you create an Isser hanor by saying, I'm making a neder that I won't get any hanor from so-and-so. So even though the Torah never said you can't have hanor from it, you've created on a certain level an Isser hanor yourself, and you're bound by it. So these are all examples. Now, what will that mean, the way I imagine that would mean? Straightforward. Don't get any benefit. So, for example, you can't eat it, you can't feed it to your dogs, you can't sell it, and you shouldn't even use it to heat your house. Now, in that list, I threw in a bit of a possibly debatable point, and that's Shaloi Kederech Hanor. If you use something which is principally a food to do some other job with it, to heat your house, that is called Shaloi Kederech Hanor. That's a machloikus already, whether that's an Issa Duraisa, an Issa Durabanan or not, Usser at all. But be that as it may, we're not going to discuss about it. We're going to talk about Kederech Hanor. You're using something which the Torah said is Usser to use in the normal way to use it. So, what would we say? We would say these things are off limits, forget about it. And don't even, when you're throwing it out, don't even throw it where you're growing your tomatoes in the back garden. Because if you do, then you've just helped your tomatoes to grow and your banana for something incidentally, but nevertheless, you're still manna from it. That was one assumption I made, which I think we're going to see is fundamentally wrong. And probably, I imagine, some of the people in the room would think like that. It's usser, don't have anything to do with it. The other one is mishamshe avodah zarah. So you've got the getchke itself, you've got the little idol sitting over themselves. That's usser b'hanor. But there's other things which are connected to which are also usher b'hanor. Some of them we're very familiar with, the idea of shetels. Shetels because they're takrovis of avodah zarah, which we're not going to discuss today. But nevertheless, there's a third category, which is called mishamshe of avodah zarah. That means, let's say somebody needs to chop the wood to build the fire in front of the Avodah Zarah. They have a specific axe or a knife, which is miyuchad for that job. And it's a part of the process of working for the Avodah Zarah. That knife also gets a din of a Surei Hanor. So not only the idol, but the thing which is used to serve it. And if they would cut up meat in front of it and throw it in the fire in front of the Avodah Zarah, the same thing, that knife has a din of Meshamshei Avodah Zarah, about which the Pasuk says, a very clear language, Lo yidbak biyodcha mu'uma. Don't let any part of it stick to you. It shouldn't stick to you in your hand. Mu'uma, pashtus means at all. Now, if you look in the Metzudas David, that's how he teaches this in Shmuel, in a different case with Mu'uma. He says, Shum davar ma. Don't have anything from it. So now, what would we say? Not only Asuri Hanor, you're not supposed to get any Hanor from, but the most stringent of all Asuri Hanor, we would have thought is Avodah Zarah, because saying, Lo yidbak biyodcha mu'uma, don't have any contact with it, don't touch it, don't let it get anywhere near you. In which case, the worst Asuri Hanor we could imagine possibly would be Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. Fine. So now let's challenge these two assumptions from a tshuva which was asked to a sefer to a mechaber called Torah Lishma. B'shailas and tshuvas Torah Lishma. Now we're not talking about Torah Lishma. I don't want to confuse him. That is the name of the sefer, and this is what he was asked. There was a shoychet, and the shoychet was somewhere on Yom Tov, and he was the only shoychet, and this was the only knife. And they came to him and they said to him, "Would you mind to shech meat for us?" So he said, "Sure, why not?" So he's getting ready to shecht, and they say to him, "There's only one problem we forgot to tell you. You know that beautifully carved handle on that knife?" He said, "Yes, it's, you know, very good. What about it?" So he says, "That handle, we weren't so clear in the halachas. We had kilaya kerem, which is an isser hanor, and we made the handle out of kilaya kerem because we didn't know any better. Now, will you still shecht for us?" So I don't know how he sent the Shaila on Yom Tov, or this question came about after Yom Tov, or maybe the Rav was available and now the Rav is writing it down afterwards. But anyway, he went to the Rav and he asked, "Am I allowed to shecht with this knife for this community on Yom Tov?" Now I think, one of the details that's important, the Mechaber writes, is that it was a very short knife, and that means there was no other way to hold it. They couldn't hold, let's say, the top of the blade or something like that. It was a short knife, and it was because it was Yom Tov, so they couldn't break it off and make a new one. It was either this knife or nothing. Either use the knife, the short knife with the kilayakim handle, or there's no meat on Yom Tov. So that's the shaila. Can you use the knife? Yes or no? Very good. So you're machaven to a question which I was going to come to the end, which is Rabbi Akiva Eger's question, very good, that mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. So in a nutshell, because I don't know, hopefully we'll get there, but maybe not, Rabbi Akiva Eger is machalik between a mitzvah which you're mechuyev to do and a mitzvah which you're a reshus, which you're allowed to do. And he wants to say that that heter does not apply to mitzvah reshus, and shechita is not. On Yom Tov, though, which you're asking quite rightly, that the chera there could be a mitzvah in this, right? So I'm not sure. He didn't take that avenue, but it's a very fair question. And I remember actually someone asked, somebody makes this chiluk, that if it would be a mitzvah, we could be makel based on that. Okay, fair point. Nevertheless, we're not going to work with that heter. We're going to have, pardon the pun, even more glatt heter. We're not even going to go as far as trying to find a way to allow it because of the circumstances. Well, what would we have said, aside from this very good ha'ora that mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, we would have said, this is a no-brainer, this is easy, right? You have here, isuri hanor, wood is designed, wood is oimed to be made into kelim. You've made a handle out of it. You're now using the handle. And it's isuri hanor, what could be the heter? What could be the possible heter for this? Very good. So that's why he made dagesh, he emphasized that the knife is very small. So you're right. If he understands that if you have to use the handle to use the knife, so then that's also considered using it, even though it's not the chelik, which is the cutting chelik, but nevertheless you have to hold it in order to cut. So he understands that that would be using isurei hanor. And even still, we're going to see that the answer is a surprise. Again, I think we would have said, forget it. No meat, enjoy your vegetarian chalent or whatever you're going to have. You can't use this knife. But he turns around and he says, look at the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin makes this so easy, you're going to have no problems. The Gemara in Chulin and Daf Chesam at Aleph says, Amar of Nachman. Now remember, we're talking about Kilaya Kerem, but he quotes a Gemara talking about Avodah Zorah knives, for Mishamshi Avodah Zorah. Sakin Shal Avodah Zorah Mutar Lishchad Ba. The Gemara says, plain and simple, you're allowed to use the knife of Avodah Zorah to shecht your own meat. Mutar Lishchad Ba, says the Gemara, because Mekalkalhu. Because you're doing something called mekalkal, some sort of a damage. You're damaging. You're not fixing things. The Surah Noise don't get benefit. This isn't a benefit. This, says the Gemara, is a damage or a loss. Rashi explains why. Mekalkal who because and not a hanor, the ain't a hanor, shibachayeh haya domeh merubi melacha shchita. Because the value went down after you shechted it. Now, we would say, in our world, that's a bit peculiar, because the animals are grown, many of them, just to be shechted. And to pay a shechet, etc., you'd say the meat became more valuable because you had a man's whole day's work preparing the meat, etc., so the value's gone up. But we're going to see that this is not, in the times of the Gemara, this was not the case. So just hold on. It'll be more explained as we go along, but that's what Rashi says. There was a loss of money when you shechted. And the Shailan Shuvah's Torah Shema says, he thinks, I'm saying this. He says, not me saying this. He says, the Rambam says this. The Shulchan Aruch says this. And sure enough, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Sakin Shomisham Shevedis Kechavim, if it's Chodosh or Yoshin, whether it's a new knife, meaning they didn't use it yet for cutting their own meat, or it's an old knife, She'ein Boi Meshum Giulei Ovde Chavim, and somehow it doesn't have any absorbed taste or any mamashos of their chazer on it, or whatever they're shechting. It's just a clean knife, clean of blias, clean of shemnunis. Everything is clean about it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, mutter lishchot boi behema bari. You're allowed to shecht a healthy animal. Mipnei shehu mekalkal. Because you're doing harm, you're damaging. You're not benefiting, you're damaging. Now he adds, and we're going to need to see the Gemara to understand why the Shulchan Aruch says this. V'asa lishchot boi mesukanis. But if the animal is sick, and you want to check that, that's usr. Why? Bipnei shehu misakin, because that's called fixing. So think about it for a minute. You have a healthy animal and you check that, he says that's called damaging. You have a sick animal and you check that, that's called fixing things. So we have to get ahead into what's...
You can use the meat.
Okay, doing very well, Mr. Harper.
If it dies, it's an irrelevancy.
Very good. That's what the Gemara is going to say. People understand that if you don't check the Tao, you're going to have a total loss. It'll be a total write-off, right? So if you shecht it before it dies as a mesukenis, at least you've got meat. You may not have the kind of meat you want to serve to your mechubedik guests, but at least you've got some meat.
Why is it different than chopping a tree down
for the axe? In terms of, it could be the same. You mean if you, what I... I was saying that's what the Goyim used it for, to make it, to give it the shame of Masham Shevet Azor. They went and they chopped down a tree and they made wood. And that makes the axe. They're cutting it to put on their pyre to burn in front of the Avodah Zarah. That would be Masham Shevet Azor. If we would go and do that, it may be the same depending on if it's a fruit tree or not. In other words, if you have, a dying tree or a dead tree, maybe the same halacha would be true, that you're being nana, you're benefiting, because we're going to see the reasoning, but you're taking something which was otherwise useless and you're making it useful. But if you take a fruit tree, and that was very valuable, let's say, and you chop that down with your axe, then I agree with you, it might be the same. There might be, that's called a kilkul, and you wouldn't have this problem. I didn't see the Shulchan Aruch speak about your case, but based on the Yesodis that we're saying, it should come out that what you're saying is correct. Depending on the type of tree, that would determine whether it's mutter or it's asr. You with me? Yeah, okay. So...
Mekalkel always a loss of money, because here you've got an odd situation. You've got a loss of money, but on the other hand, you've got a hit.
Brilliant, yeah. That's really the main nakuda that we're going to speak about, is that how are we defining what's called a loss and what's called a gain? And the way you've put it, you've touched on both of the points. So as we go on, I think you'll see both of your nakudas coming out. So the Shailan Shuvah Torah Shema concludes, and he says, and if you think this is all a din b'di'avid, he said, look at the Ramah. The Ramah says in Kuf Mem Beis in Yoredeya, a lashon of afilu lechatchila mutter. You're even allowed to chatchila. So we're not just talking about if you happen to use the knife, what would be the halacha then? No, we're telling you, go ahead, take the knife and shecht your animals with this avodah zara knife. And then the Shai's and Shu's Torah Shema says, and not only that, not only Avodah Zorah, but another case we mentioned, V'yalef maha mudur hano mechaveiro, just like we allowed you to use the Avodah Zorah knife, if you said, I'm not going to do any shechting from my friend, and then he asks you to shecht, no, he didn't say, I'm not going to shecht, I don't want any hano from my friend, and then you need him to shecht for you, you'd be allowed to ask him to shecht, because that's not included in the Isser hano that you've created with your neder. Fine. So he's building, now he's building comparisons. Not only the case which the Gemara spoke about, but he understands other cases as well to do with Isri Hanor, the halacha could come out the same. And so he concludes, and this is his maskana in the tshuva, Afal pi shenemar, even though you, Afal pi shenemar shezeh loy haya efshe loy lishchei pesakin zeh eitz zeh, because the case is, there's no other way to shecht except with using this handle to shecht the behemoth, you're holding onto the knife. You're allowed to shecht it as long as the animal is a healthy animal. However, you shouldn't, why? He says, because if you're allowed to use a blade, which is a suri hanor, you're certainly allowed to use the handle. In since the blade, someone made a chiluk, you're not using the handle, you're using the blade. So he accepts that. He says, he makes a kol v'chomer though. He says that if the Gemara allows you to use the blade of Avodah Zorah, since certainly it would allow to use some, one step a little bit further removed, which is the handle. And so he concludes, go ahead, you can shecht on Yom Tov, use the knife, everything is okay. So now, the problem is, how can we describe this as not being hanor? We pointed out that seemingly is hanor. I asked the Talmud Chacham, he said, shechting, I asked the Talmud Chacham, he said, v'maisa hanor does not include shechting. Without much of a hesba, I didn't know what he was talking about, and I couldn't press him because I didn't have the time, but I found that in fact this question is asked by the Taz. The Taz asks that the chur, this psak of the Ramoy is a tamia, because we're saying you're not getting hanor. So this is the lashon of the Taz. Af she'eni kedai, even though I'm not worthy to argue on the Ramoy, b'kol mokem amarti she'ein lismoich al haraz ois. You should not rely on what the Ramoy said. Dezeh poshet, he takes it as obvious, the hanor gedoylehi. To shecht with somebody is obviously a benefit. And you've given someone a heter to eat meat by doing the shechita. And he says, if that's not enough for you, we pay shechtim to do this. We hire men to work for the day, hourly, decent wage, to go and shecht for us. What does that mean? It's not anor. You're paying people to do this. So, and I think those were the two studim we mentioned in passing there, that we're trying to get to a definition of what does it mean hanor, and this is where I found the Gemara is quite revolutionary, because the pashtus, we said, was don't get benefit from things. We're finding now the two ways to define what it means to have hanor. So let's see the Gemara, and from the Gemara I think we'll get to the Yesod. The Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Sakhan Shalavayz Kavim Mutta Lishchoitboy. You're allowed to use a knife of Vedazar to shecht with Vasar Lachatach by Basar, but you're not allowed to cut up meat. Now, why wouldn't I allowed to cut up meat?
Does that mean a goy?
No. It means a goy's knife. Sakhan Shal. No, they used it. They used it to chop up wood in front of their getchka.
Then Shemisha Nochri means. It's the expression of Vedazar is there is a sentence expression.
Okay, so this was the knife that they used for Avodah Zorah. You want to use it now. You say that says the Gemara, you can use it to shecht, but don't use it to cut up meat. Why would we say you can't use it to cut up meat? Maybe to venture a guess? Why shouldn't you use it to cut up meat? It's a direct honor. What are you doing? You're fixing your meat. Now you have a big piece of meat. You want to cut it up into portions that are useful to you. So that's masakin, as that's what the Gemara says. Why? It's mutter to shecht with mekalkelhu. It's asur to cut it because that's masakenhu. Very simple. Are you creating a benefit or a damage? And Rava says, yeah, but there's sometimes exceptions. He says, when do we tell you you're allowed to shecht that was with a healthy animal? But mesukenes, you shouldn't do because of what Mr. Halpern said. You're saving the meat so that you can now eat it. And mutter, when we said that it's asur to cut up meat, we only meant if cutting it up into nice pieces that are served, you can serve to people. But if you had a great big piece that was ruined to give to a chash of a person, and everybody likes, I guess, a side of beef, whatever it is that people liked at the time, and you chop it up, he says, that's mutter. Why? Because you've taken a valuable piece of meat, and you've turned it into, I guess, like mincemeat. We would say, you used to have a steak, and now you've made it into mincemeat. Well, people will pay more for a steak than for mincemeat, so that would be allowed. And Rashi says, why is this asr in the first place? So Rashi brings one pasuk, Why are we not allowed to use the knives of Yitzchakovim? He brings one pasuk, and we're going to see that there's a machlokes which pasuk we should learn from. Rashi learns Avid to Avdu nis kolam akoymos. The pasuk says you should destroy all of the place of Odazora, which the Gemara understands is not actually talking about the places alone, it's talking about the kalim that they used. And here we go, here's the Rashi which spills the beans for us. What does this mean that you are not Nana? He says like this. Why is it Makalko? Because when the animal was alive, not like our animals which are Oimid, just let's say for Shechita. In the times of the Gemara, they had three functions. Number one, you could use them for Vlados. You could have more children, more generations, which was a great value, right? Number two, you could use them for Harisha. You could use them to plow your fields. And number three, you could eat them. So, but when you take your knife out and you shecht it, you've just taken something which would have sold in the market as a multi-use, you know, a multi-use animal has now just become packaged meat. So your value went down. There's no more harishan, there's no more vlados. So if so, that's considered a loss. Finance. Financed by a suri hanor, Rashi has just told us that is what defines hanor. You could have had a lot of profits. You would have hired a man, let's say, to shecht for you all day long. You would have had to pay him. But when you get your accountants out and they give you the final tally, what is your bottom line today? The answer is you are 10 pounds worse off. The result is it's mutter bahanol. So in passing, the Gemara answers, which we mentioned, what about it's a goyish knife? We said, yeah, the goyish knife was never used with their isurim. It was never used, never had any blias. It's clean, so we don't have any problems. Okay, that's basically the Gemara. And the Rishonim say, this is all very good and well, but elsewhere, in other parts of Shas, we see that Shechita is not considered a kilkul, it's called a tikkun. Anybody think, where do we see that if you do this act of Shechita, we don't say to you, oh, it's all a kilkul, it's okay. Where do we find a case where Shechita is not a kilkul, it's considered to be a positive act? Okay, a korbanos. Maskim. Let's think of it. There's a case which maybe we're pretty familiar with where we see that you're held accountable for it as having done something constructive.
Shabbos.
On Shabbos. If you shecht on Shabbos, we don't say, oh, it was just a kill call, you didn't do anything bad. We say, no, you've done a maisa, meleches mach Shabbos, you've done something positive, in which case, you're chayev achatas for it. We're not going to chayev achatas for doing nothing, we're chayev achatas because you did something positive. And this is where the Rishonim get very busy trying to explain what's the difference between Shabbos, the Shabbos definition, and the Isuri Hanor definition. And more or less, because see we're a bit short on time, the summary is that when it comes to Shabbos, all we want to know is did you accomplish something positive that you intended to set out to do? Money has nothing to do with it. And one of the riots brought is, imagine you get a guy who's fuming angry. He's fuming on Shabbos. He's so upset. What does he do? And he's about to start shouting at his wife, and he says, no, I've got a different mahalach. What I'll do is I'll go in the back room, and I'll tear up my shirts. I'll tear up my shirts on Shabbos. Why? To get rid of my anger. So Gemara says, such a person is chayev. Right? He's pacifying his yetzer hara. His makshava was, this is the way I'll calm myself down. And for that, he'll be chayev, even though it's a completely destructive act. But nevertheless, you accomplished the melechus makshavas in this kriya. And as a result, the Gemara, I don't know if we paskin like that, but it would be a tzad, certainly, to mechayev him. And there, there's total loss. He used to have, Ralph Lauren, 100-pound shirt with the horse, and now, you know, your wife will hardly use it to clean the kitchen floor. Big loss, but nevertheless, on Shabbos, you'll be chayev. Masha Enkein was saying by Avodah Zorah that based on this cheshbon of finance, so we just want to see, did you gain or did you lose? A raya for that is brought from an asherah tree. An asherah tree was also just a regular tree. So you decide you want to plant your carrots right next to the asherah tree. The question is, are you allowed? So Gemara says, well, on the one hand, every time the leaves fall off the asherah tree, that's great compost. Right? People pay for compost. But on the other hand, some of the time it's in the shade of the asherah tree, and then it's not growing so well. So the Gemara says, because the shade offsets the gain of the compost, the result is it would be mutter. Right? So we see, again, when it comes to Avodah Zorah, we just want to, did you come out gaining or losing? That's what we want to know. By Shabbos, that's not the question. So now, all of this is very good by Avodah Zarah. We've changed our whole understanding what Isuri Hana is. And in particular, by Avodah Zarah, where we said a pasuk of Lo Yidbach Biyad Ma'uma, Ma'uma doesn't mean, did you have any attachment to Avodah Zarah? It means, did you have profit? What's your bottom line? Did you gain or did you lose? But having said all of that, this is all discussion about Zohar. What does it have to do with other Isuri Hana? What does it have to do with? If that's the pshat in Lo Yidbach Biyadcha Ma'uma, fine. But how can we learn from there to someone who makes a nader of Hana? How can we learn to that to our case of Kilaya Karim? So that question is answered by two of the poskim. The Nakudas HaKesef said, it's a binyan av. Once the Torah was megala to us, one place in the Torah that we look at the financial bottom line, that's enough. The pre-Megadim says, no, it's a swara. And the swara goes like this. When I said, I don't want to get any hana from you, this is what I meant. I meant, I don't want to have any contact with you that comes out as profitable to me. Basically the same as Avodah Zarah. That we look at financially, how did you come out? I didn't mean I don't have anything to do with you. I mean, I don't want to profit from you. These two suggestions are rejected by the Taz. The Taz says it's not true. First of all, he brings a raya from Tosfos. He says we're only learning this from Avodah Zarah. But also he says that by Nedarim, that's not what people mean. We look at people, das, what they meant when they said it. What they meant is, get out of my life. I don't want to have anything to do with you ever again. Mamela, I'm not going to start calling the accountant to see if I profited or not. I just don't want to have anything to do with you. In which case, he comes out saying that we shouldn't be learning anything from Avodah Zarah. We should be very much limiting it. Nedarim is not going to be relevant to learn. And as we said, that he was chaylik, really. He was chaylik, the Taz was chaylik on the Ramor in his Iker Din, because he says we pay Shoichtim to pay Shoichtim to Shecht for us. Now, see, we're basically out of time. There was one or two other points I was going to discuss, but in fairness to Olam, I'm not going to. I'll just conclude, just to wrap up what we've said. So it comes out a very strange thing. Comes out, when it comes to Isuri Hana, the case which we thought would be the most stringent, Avodah Zarah, which had the biggest Chumrah, is exactly the only case where there's no machlokes about. It's a mefurish Gemara that you're allowed to use a knife of Avodah Zarah to shecht with, provided it's a healthy animal and not a sick animal. Number two, we spoke about a nader, not to get Hana from someone. That, we said, is a machlokes. The Taz said, when people say a nader, they mean, I don't want to have anything to do with you, ki hu zeh, nothing to do with you. But the Ramon and the Shach and the Nakudas HaKesef both say that no, it's either a binyanav or it's a svar. That means I don't want to come out profiting from you, but I don't mind having something to do with you. The last case, which was the case that we brought, which was the wood from Kilaya Karim, that was the shayla that was asked the handle. So we'd come out lechor with the same machlokes. The Torah l'shma, the shayla and Shuvah Torah l'shma, he said he would allow it. He compared it to Avodah Zarah. Again, the Taz would say, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know where the makor for us is. We cannot learn any binyanav. And just to tie with the beginning, either way it comes out, we're talking about losses. We said there was a loss in shechting financial terms, and in the beginning we're saying there's a loss. We say the vegetarians of the world would tell us it's easier to just eat, soya burgers. That could be, and there's a certain loss in having to shecht and having to work on it, having to build up the meat, the nefesh bahamis, to be something worthwhile and something which is going to build us, not drag us down. But at the end of the day, we're not here to make calculations how would we go about it? If Hashem tells us there's a heter to eat meat, and we're in the world to struggle to build up ourselves and to build up the world around us through that avoda, that's our tafkid, and there's no two ways about it. Be'ez Hashem, we should be matzliach, and we zeichet to the B'ez Goyal Tzedek B'mher V'yameinu. Okay.